Thank you so very much. That was a lovely introduction. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for allowing me to share some of our work with you. So this particular first part of the talk is Smoking is Bad for Babies, Obstetric Care Providers, Smoking Cessation Counseling. There is some overlap with regard to the data that I'll be sharing from the first presentation to the second presentation, and so some of the methodology will be sort of similar. So hopefully I won't end up actually having to take up the full sort of 30 to 40 minutes and we'll have a little bit more time for discussion. Just wanted to say that there's no relationships to disclose. So in terms of background, certainly we know that smoking during pregnancy is a bad thing. 22% of women of reproductive age actually smoke, with 12 to 36% who actually continue to smoke during pregnancy. And we do know that perinatal smoking is associated with many different adverse health outcomes for the pregnancy, for the mother in terms of maternal health outcomes, and certainly for the infant. For us, from Pittsburgh, we have the unfortunate distinction of having Pittsburgh ranking the highest for perinatal smoking. There was a survey done by the Annie Casey Foundation, the Kids Count sort of survey, that out of 50 large cities, Pittsburgh had the highest proportion of children who were born to women who had smoked during their pregnancy. So we actually have a significant problem in the city of Pittsburgh. We also do know from various different studies that clinician-delivered smoking cessation counseling actually does work. It is efficient, it is effective, and smokers are actually more likely to quit and have pregnancy outcomes improved if their clinicians do provide sort of smoking cessation counseling. And we do see that pregnancy seems to be a teachable moment. It seems to be what we consider a window of opportunity where women will be more likely to actually change their risky health behaviors. And so this is an opportunity to actually intervene. In terms of one of the types of smoking cessation counseling that has gotten a lot of attention, and this is the actual type of counseling that has been endorsed by the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology for all OBGYNs to actually be using with their smoking pregnant patients, is the five A's. And the five A's constitute A for ask, the provider asks about smoking, advise, provider advises quitting, assess, provider assesses the patient's readiness to quit, assist, provider helps to give help resources to assist the patient in their quit efforts, and arrange, provider arranges a follow-up specifically designed for smoking cessation. In terms of when we are looking at whether or not obstetric care providers are actually performing the five A's, there's been a few other studies out there that really looked at sort of self-reported questionnaire data. And these were kind of interesting to me because they seemed to be very, very high in terms of the compliance and adherence to these guidelines. In fact, one of them actually sort of reported that up to 100% of the physicians who were surveyed actually said that they gave advice to stop smoking to all their pregnant patients who smoked. And 31% reported that they actually used all five of the A's. Because we also know that self-report data can sometimes be misleading and inaccurate, and in fact that when you look at sort of clinicians' self-assessments, that tends to be fairly poor when they are compared to sort of observational sort of performance measures. We've thought that it would be important for us to actually conduct a study in which we actually looked at what providers were doing empirically. There are no, as far as we know, other direct observational studies, and that's one of the things that we sought to do. So what we did was that we used audio recorded discussions that were obtained between obstetric care providers and their pregnant patients to assess the provider adherence to the 5A's smoking cessation guidelines. How we did this was that we recruited pregnant patients and their obstetric care providers prior to the patient's first obstetric visits. We chose the first obstetric visits because through chart review and other studies in our institution, we recognized that the first obstetric visit was the most comprehensive visit in which the issues, the health behavioral issues were more likely to be addressed. We've done prior sort of chart reviews that have even shown that subsequent visits tend to have a severe drop-off in terms of actually assessing even for smoking and drug and other types of behaviors. What we then did is we audio recorded the patient-provider communication during that visit. Ooh. And then we listened to all the audio recordings of the visits, and we identified the visits during which the patient reported having current tobacco use. This is sort of a representation in terms of how that sort of fell apart. We had a total of about 301 express obstetric visits that were audio recorded. Of them, we had 139 where the patients reported being current smokers. We excluded patients who did sort of say that they had recently quit smoking, and that was about 6. And we also excluded any audio recordings that actually stopped prior to the full completion of the visit. In some cases, people sort of stopped their audio recording sort of at the time of the pelvic exam, or, you know, maybe they stopped it because during some of those studies we had prevented partners and other family members from being in the room during the recording, and so they sometimes stopped it when they invited sort of other family members in. So because that could potentially eliminate other opportunities for counseling, we went ahead and counted those as not complete and eliminated those 17. And in the end had 116 audio recordings for our study. In terms of doing the analysis, we did do our coding of the 5As based on the DHHS guidelines, and we also used their quality determinations. So in terms of the specific other types of subcoding that we did, not only did we look at sort of whether or not these things, the ask, advise, assess, assist, and arrange were done, but we also looked at the quality. So in terms of ask, we looked at whether or not the question was closed versus open, because there had been some suggestions from studies, for example, from Patricia Mullen, that kind of suggested that maybe more of a multiple choice question or an open-ended question would be more likely to actually more accurately assess smoking status in pregnant women. For advice, based on the guidelines, advice needed to be counted as clear, strong, and personalized. Clear meaning that it was distinct, that it was a very clear, not ambiguous sort of message, you need to quit. Strong, this would be the most important thing for you to do, is to quit. And personalized, you need to quit on behalf of your own health and your baby, so something that kind of focuses on that particular person. Assess needed to sort of see whether or not it actually explored motivations, willingness, and readiness to quit. Assist, we counted anything that seemed to be sort of any type of helping kind of behavior. So if they offered brief counseling, if they brainstormed sort of strategies, if they offered self-help resources or materials, or if they offered referrals. Now, in that context, we did not sort of count it if they said, you know, there are referrals available. When they sort of said, I'm going to give you a referral, or I would like you to consider using this referral, is when we sort of gave the, we counted it as an assist. Arrange was any time that the providers specifically said that their follow-up visits or phone calls or other ways of sort of following up on the patients was going to specifically address the smoking cessation efforts. During all of this, when we were also coding for the 5As, we also ran into other different types of smoking cessation kind of counseling, or at least smoking cessation discussions, that we ended up having to create a separate code for because it didn't fall within the 5As. And this was a code that we determined, or that we called give information. And it was essentially just a providing information, giving some facts or some type of factual type of information. And it wasn't based on sort of any of the motivational components of the 5As, but just that, what we said, giving information. Two investigators independently coded all the audio recordings. We did descriptive and bivariate analysis on the coding, and we looked at associations also, using generalized estimating equations to account for within-provider correlations. In terms of participant characteristics, 48 providers ended up doing the 116 visits. 74% of them were residents in obstetrics and gynecology, and they were mostly young and white women. 116 patients, their mean age was 26 years. The majority were single. 59% were white and 28% were African American. 95% had a high school degree or greater of education, and 17% were in their first pregnancy. So in terms of the results, the providers are asking about smoking. So at 98% of the visits, the provider did ask the patient about smoking. And in the two visits where the providers did not ask, that was because the patients had actually spontaneously disclosed smoking prior to being asked. But in all of those visits, they did use closed-ended questions for assessing smoking. So do you smoke, any smoking during this pregnancy? So nobody was using any of the Mullins type of multiple choice type of questioning or any sort of open-ended type of questions. However, few were giving advice. We had only 36 visits, which represented 31%, in which the providers actually advised the patients to quit smoking. And even among those 36 visits, about less than half of that advice was actually clear. Very few was strong, but a good proportion, 23 of the 36, was actually personalized. Few providers were also assessing the willingness to quit. In 26 visit, or 22%, providers assessed the patient's willingness to quit. And some of the ways that they actually did this that we counted were things like, you know, are you interested in quitting? Have you thought about quitting? What could make you be interested in quitting? In 5 out of those 26, the providers actually modified their focus from quitting to cutting down prior to the patient even answering the question about their interest in quitting. So they might have sort of said, are you interested in quitting? Or at least cutting down. So they, before the patient even sort of answered whether or not they were interested in quitting, they immediately modified the focus from quitting to cutting down. And very few providers are also assisting patients to quit smoking. So in 35 of the visits, 30%, providers assisted the patient's efforts to quit smoking. The majority of those assists were referrals. At that time that we were doing the study, we actually had an on-site smoking cessation program that was available to all the people in this particular clinical setting. So with that on-site smoking cessation program, there was, you know, an uptake, or a good proportion of the assists were those referrals. And then there were also 11 of the 35 in which the providers actually provided smoking cessation medications, either sort of nicotine replacement or even Zyban or Wellbutrin. There was no incidence of a range. There was no time in which the provider specifically said, you know, we are going to follow up on your efforts to stop smoking. I will ask about this in the next visit, or we will spend some time talking about this in the next visit. There's no incidence in which they actually did arrange any type of follow-up. And this is an important component to promote the accountability, and to us seemed to represent a missed opportunity as well. In terms of looking at the number of the A's used, one of the things that you can kind of see is that very few asked more than 3 of the A's. Most either did either 1 or 2 of the A's, with most of it being ask and advise. Giving information, though, you know, even though it was a separate and new code that we created, seemed to be fairly prevalent. In 63 or 54% of the visits, the providers did give the patient some information on smoking cessation, on smoking or smoking cessation. The majority seemed to talk about the risks of smoking, or that resources existed. Like, again, we didn't necessarily sort of give them credit for an assist if they didn't sort of say, we want you to go and use these resources. But if they just sort of said, resources are out there, then they got sort of credit for giving information. With our logistic regression, looking at sort of the patient and provider characteristics that may have been associated with, particularly actually provider characteristics associated with the use of this 5As, the obstetrics and gynecology residents were more likely than the other providers, so more likely than the nurse practitioners, the nurse midwives, or the physician assistants to actually advise patients to quit smoking. And they trended towards using 3 or more of the 5As, a little bit more than the other types of clinicians. Providers were also more likely to give smoking cessation advice to patients who reported their race to be African American than those who were white. So in terms of conclusions, when directly observed, few obstetric care providers were actually performing the recommended 5A smoking cessation counseling with their pregnant patients. with their pregnant smokers. And giving information about smoking seemed to be the main component of their current cessation counseling. Now, we do have limitations of the study. For the most part, in terms of the proportion of smokers, we do have a small sample size in the single site that limits generalizability. However, for a patient-provider communication study, it actually ends up being among the bigger sort of types of observational studies with regard to patient-provider communication. We could have missed more detailed and focused discussions regarding smoking cessation that might have occurred with other clinical staff if they had some of these discussions with the nurses or with social workers, then that would not have been captured in this data. And potentially there was a Hawthorne effect in terms of these folks who were participating in the study about communication and recognized that there was going to be an audio recorder in the room, and so potentially they may have altered sort of their counseling to do that. That being said, though, one would imagine that if that had the effect, then the effect should be towards improving sort of their communication skills and being better at doing that, which then kind of makes us wonder then about folks who wouldn't know that they were recorded. Providers then, in terms of implications, need more training regarding how to effectively address smoking cessation with their pregnant smokers. We also need to increase provider awareness that simply giving information is not effective to change smoking behavior. Multiple studies have shown that just the provision of sort of telling people that smoking is bad and telling people that there are risks associated with smoking doesn't actually change their behavior, that this is a much more complex sort of behavioral change and motivational sort of issue, and may need a different approach than just providing that information. And we need to explore effective and innovative methods to improve obstetric providers' use of the 5-8. Thank you.